You're listening to the Black Eagles podcast.
Ahmet Dursun Sergen aldı. Sergen Bülent yan yana. Sergen Bülent. Sergen. Yanında Tümer var. Tümer'e doğru aksiyon kaybetti. Tümer topu aldı. Sergen aldı. Gol. Gol. Sergen attı. Sergen attı. Şampiyonluk geldi. Sergen attı. Şampiyonluk geldi.
İbrahim'in pası. Zuma. Şimdi Ahmet. İkinci gole gidiyor Beşiktaş. Ahmet. Beşiktaş.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to the Black Eagles podcast. This is the episode for the post-match against Club Brugge in the Europa Conference League and, of course, the Super League game against Kayserispor. We're going to begin with the European game on Thursday. Beşiktaş went to Belgium and played Club Brugge in Brugge at the Jan Breydel Stadium. The match finished 1-1 after a poor performance from the Black Eagles over 90 minutes, I would say. The result, of course, we can definitely be happy with, especially given the football we saw over the course of those 90 minutes. But we have to talk about how bad that performance was, really. Let's start off with the lineup that Şenol Güneş put out. He put Mert in goal, as always, Rozier at right back, Bayi, Amartey and Onur at left back. Then in midfield we had Amir Hadžametović, Jetson Fernandez and Demir Ege Tiknas. Then up top we had Muleka, Abubakar and Rasička. Now, all in all, this lineup looks kind of what you'd expect. Omar Colley wasn't 100% fit, so Amartey took his spot in the lineup. Erik Bayi with his first ever start for Beşiktaş. And then Onur back at left back, which is questionable when Masuaku was seemingly fit. Although, some question marks surrounding whether he was ready for that game to start. I can understand to an extent that Onur started in this game. The midfield selection with Amir and with Jetson is kind of what you'd expect, but then Demir Ege Tiknas with his first ever start, to my knowledge, especially in Europe, 19 years old. Look, if a 19 year old is good enough, is ready to start, then by all means. But Demir Ege Tiknas, in my opinion, isn't that. Now, of course, if you want youth to succeed, if you want young players to break through, then you need to give them opportunities and you need to be patient. You can't just expect them to always do the right thing. Young players have to make mistakes. They have to learn from their mistakes. But I don't think this is the moment to start a young player in this type of a game away from home. We just played another really difficult away game against Trabzon. There's a lot of traveling involved that will have fatigued the team, undoubtedly. You have to think it's like, 1,500 kilometers to Trabzon from Istanbul, then another 2,500 kilometers to Belgium. That's, what is that? That's 4,000 kilometers in a couple of days' time of travel alone. For this team, that is something that is very rarely spoken about in Turkish football, the travel that's involved just to go across the country and play a team. But when we hear in Europe, even in the Premier League, in English pundits, they're always talking about the travel fatigue. That's something we rarely talk about in Turkey, but for Beşiktaş, this is far from ideal. You're playing away at Trabzon, then you have to go away in Europe. It's not ideal. It's much better if you have a home game in the league and then a European game. Of course, that's not always possible and that's understandable. I just want to highlight that that is something that plays a factor in these types of performances as well. Although this is, for me, one of the worst European away performances I've seen in a long time. One of the worst ones I can think of. And it does end with a point. So how upset can you really be? Look, about the result, I don't think we can complain at all. A point away in Brugge, if you would have told us beforehand a point, then I think everyone would have said, okay, point, good start. The star on paper our toughest opponent in these group stages. Getting a point away against them is far from a bad shake. I think we would have taken that all day. Of course, a win would have tasted even better. But yeah, a point away against a good side like Kruburgo, who have been doing really well in Europe in the last couple of years, is always a good result. But for me, the team performance really left me feeling as if I watched a defeat. And especially if you consider that this, on a normal day, if you play against a team with a little bit more ruthlessness, a little bit more conversion efficiency in front of goal, then I think this would have been one of our worst results in Europe since the Liverpool game in 2000. And what was it, 2007? This could have been really bad. I'm not saying 8-0 bad, but look, with the chances they created, they could have easily won this game 3-4, 5, even 5-0, I would say. We created very little. That was the even most concerning, I'd say. We created very little opportunities. We had one good chance just after the halftime for Aboubakar. And that was really a chance that was gifted to us on a silver platter after, I believe it was, one of their defenders. I forget his name. He played against us in Istanbul as well all those years ago. I forget his name. But it was a real bad control on the ball. The ball jumps to Aboubakar. He really has the chance to score against a run of play. At that point, I don't think it would have been against the run of play because we just got out of the dressing room. The first 20 minutes of the match, it was all Club Brugge. After that, Beşiktaş did restore balance and managed to slow down the pace of the game. And there weren't really many opportunities after that. So just coming out of the dressing room, I think had we scored then, it would have been a little bit undeserved, sure. But it wouldn't have necessarily been against a run of play. The game had only just started. I think we started the second half rather okay. But then after that chance, a fantastic save by Simon Mignolet, mind you. After that, it was all Club Brugge. It was like a waterfall of chances coming from the home side suddenly. They really pounded on the door and they kept pounding until minute 77 when Hans van Aken, the man who Hans highlighted as one of their biggest threats, scored finally. He had already gotten close several times. He had a header go off the bar in the first half. Then he had another header in the second half saved by Mert. I think he might have had one more chance as well, and then he scored this goal, and then after the goal he also hit the post again. A really good shot, really, that deserved more. But in the second half it was really the Mert Günok show. He played a very good game, made some incredible saves, and then the post was also with us. And a couple of bad misses as well. I think Thiago from Club Brugge, their striker, he blasted a really good opportunity over that he should have always scored. And for us, it was very little to write home about. And I thought some of the individual performances from some of our players were really bad. I think Rasička had a horrible game. Also against Trabzon, he didn't look good. I think he has had back-to-back poor performances now. I really didn't like Demir Egetiknas' performance in this game. He played the full 90 minutes as well, which I couldn't understand. Really a disappointing performance from him, I would say. Well, disappointing. He's a young lad. It's not really disappointed if the expectations aren't super high, but I just don't understand why he was put in to that position in this game. I think there should have been other options. Look, you can play Zainuddinov in midfield. If Oxlade-Chamberlain wasn't fit, if he was fit, then you play Oxlade-Chamberlain. There are other options more seasoned options, and that is very important in a game like this, is that you have experience on the pitch, players who know how to cope with the pressures of European away nights. There's a couple of positives, of course. Like I said, Mert's performance was really good. Eric Bailly looked good. I thought Amartey actually looked good as well, even though I've seen a lot of hate online for his performance. Yeah, he didn't really win a lot of duels, but I think positionally he had a decent game. He had to cover a lot of ground. The Club Brugge did a good job at stretching our defense. And Amartey had to fill up a lot of gaps, and he did a good job in that, I thought. I personally thought Valentin Rozier was one of the better players on the night. He got a lot of criticism afterwards for quote-unquote losing his man, but I believe he was his man, so to speak, was Skov Olsen, and given the fact that Skov Olsen had a free role and was roaming around from left to right constantly, I don't know what people expect, but if you expect your right back to follow a guy and man mark him all over the field, yeah, look, if the coach wants that, sure, fine, no problem, let him do it, but that's never how Beşiktaş have operated, and I highly doubt a player like Valentin Rozier, whose main attributes are going forward, although he's a very good defender as well, in my opinion. But I don't think you want to put a guy like that on man marking. Then you would put someone like Demir Ege on man marking him, you know, or following him around when he goes out of that left wing zone. Then you assign one of the midfielders to follow him around. So I don't know what people were smoking there. A lot of the analysts were saying that, and I don't quite agree with that because I thought Rozier was one of the guys that was decent. I think the worst part in the first half was the first 20 minutes. We looked nowhere. Club Brugge were all over us. They really deserved to go a goal up, but it was they couldn't find that goal. Then we had an injury break. After a collision, Mert stayed down for a while, and Beşiktaş took full advantage of that opportunity. Şenol Güneş called the players on the sideline and did some tactical rearrangements. And after that, I really thought we did restore the balance, and Beşiktaş grew in the game, albeit without really creating many opportunities. But the balance of the match was restored, and for the second half of this of the first half, it was a more balanced game, and Beşiktaş looked a lot better, looked more Club Brugge's equal. But then in the second half, like I said, after that Aboubakar chance, it was all Club Brugge. They finally got their goal in the 77th minute. It was overly deserved. At that point, I'm basically pulling out my hair. I'm thinking to myself, oh, this is such a horrible performance tonight. We are going to be left with nothing here. We deserve 100% to lose this. It's such a deserved loss. It was basically also the way that Şenol Güneş, he didn't make changes until very late. And then when he did make changes at 0-0, mind you, he only made defensive changes. It was like he was just happy with a draw. Then after conceding, he did put on Cenk Tosun in the 84th minute, and only a couple of minutes later, Cenk already got on the score sheet again. It was a mistake, I would say, at the back a little bit. There was a fall in midfield. Demir Ege just mowed someone down. The referee played advantage, and as you know, the advantage rule is so that if the opposition doesn't win the ball in, what is it, 10 seconds or so, then the advantage, then he cannot go back to the fall. He can still give a card, which he always should have. It was a horrible challenge. Should have always been carded. Not a red card, I think, but a yellow at least. But that didn't happen. Then it was a little bit of combativeness on their left, our right side. It was Hans van Aken, and then I think it might have been Zainutinov, I'm not 100% sure, but Hans van Aken is left with a bleeding nose there. If you look at the duel itself, it didn't look like anything special, just a little bit of a swinging arm like you see 100,000 times in a game like this. Not an elbow by any stretch of the imagination. It hits him a little bit, unfortunately, and he gets a bloody nose out of it, which infuriates Hans van Aken because he thinks that should have been called a foul on him. Look, if the referee blows his whistle right then and there, then I don't think there's much you can say. But he didn't blow his whistle. Play went on. Then there was some... the ball went to Club Brugge. And then there was some pressure by Aboubakar. He wins the ball, plays it into Cenk. And Cenk goes one-on-one with Mignolet. And he makes a fantastic finish, as we know Cenk to be able to do. That's one of his strengths, of course, being able to finish. And it was a really good finish. Didn't leave Mignolet with a chance. And it was a very good goal, I would say. Good finish. But completely against the run of play. Very undeserved. For us, and we steal a point, really. There is a VAR check, but VAR concludes the same as we just did, that look, there we can't really disallow that. Plus, I mean, I think as well, I believe they recovered the ball, so I think once you recover the ball, they can't go back as a new play starts anyway. Yeah, it is harsh on Club Brugge. I'm very happy with the point. I think we're all very happy with the point after those 90 minutes. But for us, the lingering feeling will just be poor performance. And that is something that... Yeah, I said this to my friends. With the squad he has available, Şenol Güneş, he needs to do better. People are making excuses for him, saying that the board didn't do a good job in the transfer window. He didn't get a number 10. Look, let's be honest. If he would have gotten a number 10, he wouldn't be playing right now. That is just how Şenol Güneş is. Also, on top of that, we have the issue with the foreign limits. There's not that much that can be done about that other than getting really... Like, if you can pull out 15 million out of your back pockets for Cengiz Ünder, then, you know, sure. If you can pull out whatever kind of money you need for whatever Turk is available in Europe, these good high-level Turkish player that you can put into a central defensive role or something like that. I think we probably should have gone for Koray Günter, for example, but regardless, that's not a high-level player, but, you know, he has Serie A experience and all that, whatever. But people are making excuses that the squad isn't that good, but that is such malarkey. Look at the back line he has available. Mert in goal, Rosier, Eric Bailly, Daniel Amartey, Omar Colley, Arthur Masuaku, then he has Onur Bulut and Tayfur Bingöl as backups. That is a very strong back line. In midfield, he has Amir Hadžiahmetović, Jetson Fernandes, Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, and he can play Zainutdinov there as well. He has Sali, then he has some young kids as well, like Demir Ege. That is not a bad midfield. Okay, it does definitely lack a creative spark, I'd say. Although I have to say, and we'll get to that a little bit later, I think Ox adds a lot going forward. He plays a lot of good through balls, not necessarily to the striker, but like he opens up the wings. He does a lot of forward passing and does a lot of good forward passing, and he doesn't mind driving the ball up as well with the ball at his feet. So I think Ox is the missing link in this midfield right now. Understandable, of course, that's a tougher one for Şenol Güneş because of the lack of consistent starting time he has gotten for Liverpool last season. So it's understandable that Ox needs a little bit of revving up, so to speak. That engine needs to be revved up. But I think he has enough options in midfield. I'm not saying he has the options in midfield to win the league, but I want to see good football from this team. And he has those tools. He has those tools at the back. He has those tools in midfield. Now let's look at the front line. He has Ante Rebic. He has Cenk Tosun. He has Vincent Aboubakar, he has Milo Trasička, he has Rashid Gezal. Those are all high quality players. Then on top of that, he has Semih Kılıçsoy. And he has Jackson Muleka. He has umpteen options. He has a ridiculous amount of options. The problem is, Şenol Güneş is not implementing the new players well. He is not allowing them to build chemistry. I have said this last week. Ante Rebic has not played with Vincent Aboubakar in a game. What is up with that? Our main striker and the first guy we signed, not counting Honor, the guy from the third division team that is never gonna play. Rebic was our first signing this summer, our first real signing. He's still, after seven games in Europe, and what is it, 5 in the league now? So 11, no, I can't count, 12 matches, 12 official matches. Ante Rebic has not played with Vincent Aboubakar. Other than maybe 30 seconds or 60 seconds that I overlooked. But every time he puts on Rebic, he takes Aboubakar out. Every time, and it's only been once, Rebic starts, Aboubakar is on the bench. It's like he does it on purpose. And I don't understand, because Rebic, in every game he has played so far, has created 100% goal scoring opportunity. I am not saying Rebic has been great in every appearance, but he has been good enough to warrant 20 to 30 minutes in every match. And here he doesn't come off the bench. And against Kayserispor he doesn't come off the bench. What's up with that? Right? You have this type of a player, high profile player, Croatian international, loads of experience in the Bundesliga and in Serie A, and you don't give him playing time. And then people are saying, yeah, but the board, they didn't do the right transfers, blah, blah, blah. Come on, guys. Is this board not at fault for still not having a sponsor? Of course they are at fault. Are they not at fault for the transfers dragging on? Of course they are at fault. But Ante Rebic has been with the team the longest of any of the new signings. His implementation to the team, that is not on the board. That's on Şenol Güneş and only on Şenol Güneş. Milot Rasička, he has been getting a lot more time, that he hasn't settled yet, that he hasn't built up the chemistry yet. I see with Rasička is that he is what you would think is a blind pass. I think what he is doing, that is not necessarily a blind pass. He is looking for where he expects a teammate to be. And that is just down to chemistry again, down to playing together for a while. We saw this last season at Galatasaray with Rasička as well. In the beginning, it took him a little while to settle in, to get to know his new teammates. I think Rasička will be fine. He is getting the minutes, so he will build that chemistry up with Aboubakar, with his teammates. He will be fine, even though I thought he has been one of the worst players in the last in these two games against Trabzon and against Club Brugge. Then another thing that he has been doing, Şenol Güneş, is at the back. Look, against Trabzon, he had, was it Bay and Koli that he had at the back? It's a different lineup at the back every week. So on paper, the quality is definitely there, but there are so many changes in that back line. And I kind of understand, Bay was late, Amarte had the injury, he's kind of forced to do that. That is definitely not entirely on Şenol Güneş, but it doesn't help. It doesn't help that our back line is constantly different. On Belgian television, before the game, they were commenting about our back line.
and just stepped up. For example, Omar Colley wasn't playing. They clearly weren't informed that Colley just wasn't fit. But Colley is incredibly important. He's been with us since last season, and he has built himself up to be a really essential player at the back. Not having Colley in this game definitely played a part. I think Bayi Colley, we saw it later on this week against Kayserispor, looks like a promising duo. But yeah, we are 12 games in, and there's still a lot of lack of chemistry with the team, and that is, of course, partially on the board for some late transfers like Erik Bayi, for example. But when I look at our lineup, you can say that about Bayi, that he was late, but you can't really say it about Hrasička. Yeah, that wasn't a super early transfer in the window, but he's been with the team long enough now. I don't know. The chemistry issue is something that needs to be addressed, and I think Şenol Güneş, one of his weaker points is building that with a larger squad. Şenol Güneş works best when it comes to a 13-14 man squad. That is how Şenol Güneş has always preferred to work. He likes to have his starting 11 and then a couple of guys that are Hamle players that he uses frequently. And right now he is basically being forced to rotate a lot, which is very unnatural to Şenol Güneş. The rotation due to an injury here, an injury there, but also due to the four limits in the Turkish league. And that is clearly something that I think he makes too many changes. And I'm gonna get back to that again in a second, but look, compared to the game against Trabzonspor, there were 6 changes in our lineup. Now, okay, that's understandable after a 3-0 spanking. Especially if you want to send some messages, which was reported that Şenol wanted to send a message to some players. That's why Demir Ege started and Salih didn't start, for example. And that is okay, but I think if you want to send a message, that's fine. But don't start a 19-year-old kid that is not ready for this level against the strongest team in your European group. I'm sorry, that's just not understandable. And Muleka starting against Brugge, I have no problem with that. I understand that he started. I don't understand that Ante Rebic doesn't come off the bench. That is something I don't understand. It feels a little bit like he's treating Rebic like he was treating Negredo. And like he was treating Jermaine Lens. He handled those two players very poorly. Now, they were both expensive and overpaid, but that has nothing to do with the coach. The coach has to utilize what he has. And with Lens back in the day, Lens was made very clear to Lens that he is a backup to Quaresma. And when Quaresma is fit and he is not suspended, Quaresma plays. That is not good for a morale of a player. Same was true for Negredo. He was made very clear from the start, when Cenk is fit, Cenk plays, you're the backup. And then we sell Cenk in January and suddenly it is expected from Negredo to be number one. But at that point, yeah, I think you have lost the player a little bit. And I think that Şenol Güneş is at risk of losing Ante Rebic. I'm not sure, that it's just pure speculation on my part, but I can imagine that a player like that, after, if he gets 20 minutes or 30 minutes every game to show himself, when you send a message to a player like, look, I don't think you are ready to start, but here's 20 or 30 minutes, prove me wrong, then I think players, a professional player like that, will say, okay, I'll take that challenge, I'll prove myself. But if you leave him on the bench 90 minutes, those players are just going to grow disillusioned. Because what do they have to do? Right? And I think in the opportunities he has had, like he started against Trabzonspor, he created our only big opportunity in that first half with a really good through ball to Gedson. I'm not saying that Rebic played a great game, but who did in that match, right? Nobody really did. So, do you punish your player that created your only chance in that first half by the following two games leaving on the bench for the entire match? I think that's poor man management. And I've criticized that in the past from Chenal. I think his man management at times leaves much to be desired. Sometimes he just... Anyway, that was my thoughts on the Club Brugge game. As you can tell, I am very frustrated with the game, in particular the way we played, and in particular the way our coach coached. His match selection, his substitutions, his mentality. Like I said, at 0-0 in Brugge, he only made defensive subs. He will put Nijip on in every game. I don't know why Nijip needs to get minutes every match. Does Nijip need minutes every game? I don't think he does. I think Ante Rebic needs minutes every game. I think Rashid Ghezal needs minutes. I think Oxlade-Chamberlain needs minutes. I think those are guys who are either coming back from injury or who are settling into the team. Those are the guys that you need to give minutes to every match so they can grow and can build chemistry with their teammates. Because if we are going to be anywhere near successful this season, we are going to need Ox, we're going to need Ghezal, we're going to need Rebic. Nijip is just a Hamle player. He is just somebody you put in when somebody's injured at the back. Or somebody you put in, you know, in when you need to hold on or whatever. I don't think that was the case here. Okay, we were struggling. But when it's 0-0 in Europe and you make a statement like that, like 20 plus minutes before the game, and you say, oh, 0-0, we're fine with that, then you are not coaching Beşiktaş, then you're coaching Kocaelispor or something. Okay, let's move on. Of course, we weren't the only ones left with mixed feelings after this game. Also, Club Brugge, their fans, they were left with some strong feelings after this match. And returning to our show this week is Hans Noël with his thoughts on the game between Beşiktaş and Club Brugge, or Club Brugge Beşiktaş, I should say. Hans was, of course, here to preview our group, and he previewed in particular Club Brugge, and he is now back with a small little audio clip he sent in upon my request with his thoughts on the match. I already asked him before the game. I didn't want to ask after a match, you know, if we lose 3-0, I didn't want to have to ask him, hey, can you give your thoughts? Or if we win or whatever, I didn't want to ask. I didn't want to be the gloating bastard asking, hey, what did you think of the game? No, I asked him before. Hans, after the game, win, draw, or lose, can you please send in a small message and give us your thoughts on the match? And Hans was so kind as to send in a little clip with his thoughts on the game. And I think it sums up perfectly how Club Brugge will feel after this match. And also, I think it will reflect that we should be probably very happy with our result. So Hans, take it away.
Hi, Kaan. Hans here with my opinion and feelings concerning the Bruges Beşiktaş game of last night. Overall, my feeling, and I share the feeling with most of the Bruges fans, is that Bruges always should have won the game. We played dominant football throughout the bulk of the 90 minutes, created half a dozen of clear chances. We even hit the post twice, and our goal scorer terribly missed in front of the goal. And last but not least, your goalie was outstanding, saving miraculously on a number of occasions. The late Beşiktaş equalizer felt like an uppercut to the Bruges fans, as no one really expected it still to happen. The draw as such felt very much like a loss to us home fans. Yesterday was a frustrating night, and hopefully we can make up for that when we come to Istanbul.
Thank you, Hans, for sending in your feelings on the game, and I can completely understand that Club Brugge fans feel like that was a defeat almost. They played a fantastic game. They 100% deserved to win. They should have always won that match, and they are left frustrated. And I think we can relate. We have had many games like that in the past where you dominate, you score, and then suddenly at the end you concede a dumb goal because you didn't kill the game. I think it's definitely something we can relate to. We had that against Pendikspor earlier this season, and I wouldn't even say we created half the amount of chances that Club Brugge created against us. Good to know that Mert Günok made a good impression. He had a fantastic game, and that is also kind of why Mert is number one right now. You know, Mert makes those types of saves that unfortunately Ersin didn't always make, at least not consistently, and that is why Mert is playing and Ersin is rotting away on the bench, unfortunately. But let's move over to the Super League. Then this weekend we had a game against Kayserispor at the Beşiktaş Stadium, and we won this match 2-1. 3 points in the bag. That brings us to a total of 10 out of a potential 15. So following that defeat at the hands of Trabzonspor last week, we do rebound with a European draw and a win in the league. So hopefully this can continue to build towards a better morale in the team, and hopefully we can start playing some better football. The football in this game still wasn't great, I thought. At times it was decent. There were a lot of changes again in the lineup. 6 changes again compared to the lineup against Club Brugge. Mert in goal, as we had against Club Brugge. Onur Bulut this time starting at right back over Valentin Rozier, which I was personally left frustrated with. Erik Bailly makes his second consecutive start, and Omar Colley returns to the side, as does Arthur Masuaku, who had already come on in the second half against Club Brugge as well. So Colley and Masuaku back in the starting lineup. Amir Hadžiahmetović, as he has been starting all season. Then Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain starting over Jetson Fernandes, who had picked up a minor injury apparently and will be out for 2 to 3 weeks. Apparently he could play with injections, but the medical staff are not risking him. And then Salih Uçan returns to the lineup as well, so Demir Ege Tiknas moves to the bench. Then up top, some changes, and this one is one that I personally definitely liked. Rashid Ghezal making his return on the right wing, so Milat Hasicka starts on the bench. Rashid Ghezal making his first start since a very long time, and I think we can all be very happy about that. Cenk Tosun as well, after his goal against Club Brugge, gets rewarded with a start. And then Vincent Aboubakar was the striker as per usual. Interesting lineup. Other than Rozier not starting, I thought it was a good lineup. I was happy to see Omar Colley back in the lineup. I was happy to see Erik Bailly get another start. I was extremely happy to see Ghezal. And I completely understand Cenk getting a start here after that fabulous finish against Club Brugge. He definitely deserved it. In the first half, Beşiktaş created some half chances. There was a good one for Rashid Ghezal, where he cut it back, and then Bilal, the goalkeeper for Kayserispor, made a good save, but not necessarily a 100% chance. There was an opportunity for Cenk as well. There were a couple of opportunities on the corner at the end as well, but no real clear-cut goal-scoring opportunities where you say, okay, that should have been a goal. We had some half chances, but Kayserispor, undefeated in the league, kept it locked quite tight at the back. They had, up until this moment, they had 4 draws and a win. So they had a total of, 7 points. So they had made a decent start to the season. Same amount of points we had. Of course, we have a match in hand against Adana Demirspor. But yeah, other than Onur, who I thought in the first half got a lot of opportunities to make an impact offensively on the match, I think if we would have started with Rozier, that first half could have looked a little bit differently. Onur, yeah, just... he has a good cross, but he's not very good at beating his man. He doesn't like to take on his man, always passes it back. Rashid Ghazal looked good. He doesn't look like a guy that has missed almost a year of football. I really think that Rashid Ghazal is going to, if he stays fit, very important, of course, very important caveat, if he stays fit, he's going to have a pretty important role this season. He, of course, still our most creative player, and you can see that Rashid Ghazal is a player a class apart. He is a fantastic talent, and it's gonna be very instrumental that he's fit. Oxlade-Chamberlain, very good impression again, like the game against Sivasspor. He really likes to play forward and attacking football. He had some really good openings in this game again, like he did against Sivasspor, and he actually gets rewarded with it in the second half with his first ever goal for the Black Eagles. But in the second half, after 0-0 at halftime, it's Kayserispor who take the lead with a very good studied in free kick. I think it was a free kick, or was it a corner? I don't remember. A set piece. Really well done. I think it was a corner, actually. Poked in at the far post by... I don't remember who it was. But it was a very good goal. Can't really say much about it. That is one of those things that you practice in training. And if that works, not much you can do about it unless you were able to scout it, which you're not going to be able to have done because close trainings and stuff like that. Good goal for Kayserispor. And you know what? At that time, I thought it wasn't even that undeserved, because in the first half, yeah, I thought we had some chances and we didn't necessarily play bad, but defensively, Kayserispor exploited us a few times, and I would say they had the better chances. So this wasn't necessarily undeserved, but that did wake up the team, and it didn't take too long for Beşiktaş to react. And on a corner, Vincent Aboubakar got his first goal in this league season with his head, and he makes it 1-1. And then a couple of minutes later, Salih Uçan has a fantastic lofted pass. He spots the run made by Ox into the box. Fantastic run as well, and a really good pass. Oxlade-Chamberlain picks the ball up with his foot, with his right foot. Fantastic control in the air, in mid-air, and then he slots through the legs of Bilal to put Beşiktaş 2-1 up. And that's the final scoreline as well, even though that was far from far from the end of the game still. No real big chances anymore for either side that I can recall, but some changes here and there. Rebic again, full 90 minutes on the bench, really disappointing for me. And then in the second, then the subs that Şirel made, he put Necip on, he put Demir Ege on. Muleka didn't come off the bench either. He put Milo Trasicka on for Ghazal. He took Ox off for Demir Ege, I believe it was. He took Salih off for Necip. So we finished the game really with three defensive midfielders. It didn't end up haunting us. I thought it would. At the time he made the subs, I really thought that was gonna we were gonna give away control of midfield and we were going to regret and rue those changes. But fortunately we didn't. We held on. We secured the win, played the match out comfortably, and got the 3 points. Rozier not starting was a big issue for me personally. I think he should always start, especially, look, there's the three Turk rule, but we had Mert, we had Onur, we had Salih, and we had Cenk. We had plenty of Turks on the field. Onur did not need to start. Rozier should have just started. He's the better player. He should have started. But maybe, yeah, he wanted to rest him a little bit. Maybe Şenol, I don't know, wanted to punish him a little bit for whatever perceived issue. But yeah, all in all, decent performance, 3 points in the bag. I don't think we can complain about that. We need to move on and to the next game. We have Adana Demirspor next, which is the game that got postponed to get, for the European qualifiers. And a little bit of news on that one. Adana Demirspor actually lost this weekend against Kasım Pasha and got 3 red cards, 2 during the game and 1 right after the full-time whistle was blown. They will be missing their goalkeeper, Ertaç. They will be missing Stambouli, and they will also be missing Kevin Rodriguez against us. So, yeah, a lot of important players for them. They have a little bit of an issue in the goalkeeper department right now. I believe their other 2 goalkeepers are injured. So, yeah, Adana Demirspor have some issues in goal against us. And then they will be missing Stambouli, who is an important player in their midfield, and Kevin Rodriguez, who is also a decent footballer. So, Adana Demirspor will be without several players. On top of that, they will not be able to utilize the players they signed after the original date of our match. So there will be a couple of players that won't be able to play against us. They still made some moves towards the end of the window. On the 15th, so I think Erik Bailly is able to play, but I am not sure actually. I'd have to look that up. We transferred Erik Bailly on the 4th of September, so I think he actually won't be eligible as well then. But yeah, all in all, we are moving into that game. It's a difficult away game, and I think we can be happy about the fact that Adana Demirspor got a couple of red cards against Kasım Pasha. It will definitely work in our favor. But whether that will be enough for us to get a result, we'll have to wait and see. Our last 2 away performances against Trabzonspor and Club Brugge have been abysmal. So I am not super hopeful for 3 points in Adana, but it would be a fantastic rebound for us to get 3 points away at Adana, and it would hopefully boost morale a little bit and confidence. We need to start winning games after dropping points against Pendik and Trabzonspor. We cannot afford to drop too many points anymore in the coming weeks, so Beşiktaş needs to start winning, and that's the only way to build confidence in the team. And hopefully we will have to see some minutes with Ante Rebic in that match, because I'm really disappointed that he didn't get off the bench in this last 2 matches. Anyway, that'll do it for this week's episode of the Black Eagles podcast. Like I said, the next game up is Adana Demirspor, and then we have Lugano at the Beşiktaş Stadium in the Conference League the week after. So the next 2 games, Adana Demirspor away and then Lugano. So another far away travel before we have a European game. But yeah, this postponed match, can't really say much about that. Anyway, thank you for listening to this episode of the Black Eagles podcast. Do not forget to follow us on Twitter at Beşiktaş Podcast, just one word, or follow me personally at Razzerian, RazzerIan. Feel free to interact with me online, and I will usually respond, unless you're being a dumbass. No, I usually tend to respond most of the time. Please give us a follow. Rate our podcast on Spotify or on Apple Podcasts, and share it with your friends if your friends are Beşiktaş fans and they would like to listen to an English Beşiktaş podcast. Feel free to share it with them. Always appreciate it. And I'll see you next week. Don't forget. Harika, harika, harika.